Hello, everybody. You are listening to Corpse Run Radio. This is Ian Hazzikostas, and enjoy.
Children of the grave, heed my call. Come and join me, or feel my wrath. For we are the Forsaken. I am your queen, and this is Corpse Run Radio.
This is Corpse Run Radio.
We are the Forsaken.
We are the Forsaken.
Hello and welcome to episode 35. This week we have Time Walking the Burning Crusade active in the game. So I thought I would focus on lore from the Burning Crusade. But since that's not enough, really, I'm going to throw in a couple of things from Legion as well. So the first segment we have today is a two-part thing with a little intermission. It's parts 1 and 2 of Noble 87's lore on Maiev Shadowsong.
Hello everyone! I asked a question on Facebook and Twitter as to what character related to the Legion storyline you guys and girls wanted to see a video about. Don't worry, one day I want to cover each and every bit of lore on the channel that Warcraft has to offer, but for now, you voted Maiev Shadowsong, so that's the story we're going to tell today, so let's begin, shall we?
Maiev... how is it even possible?
The first time that we see Maiev in the storyline is during the War of the Ancients, which took place over 10,000 years ago. A lot of important characters and a lot of storylines find their origin during this war, but I'll have to focus on Maiev in order to give you an understanding as to what kind of character she is. The War of the Ancients, it was caused by the Highborn, which tried to summon the Dark Tide to Sargeras and the Burning Legion into the world of Azeroth. The Night Elves, they eventually found out what the Highborn and the Queen Azara were trying to do, and they organized a resistance to fight back. Maiev was part of this resistance. She was part of the Sisterhood of Alun, a religious order of Night Elves dedicated to worshipping the goddess Alun, healing, blessing, and praying for their people. The sisters were servants of Alun, their goddess. Sometimes they were graced by her powers, but praying was only half of what they did. The other half of Alun that they revered, that they worshipped, was the aspect of the Night Warrior, which meant that her servants were also trained in the art of combat, and it was a good thing too, since their skills were needed to fight back against the Legion. Many powerful servants of the Burning Legion were summoned during the war with the portal that they created with the use of the Well of Eternity. You had creatures like Manoroth, you had Archimonde, and you had Hakkar the Houndmaster. The last one, Hakkar, he was able to take out the High Priestess of Alun, Dejana, and she was the leader of the organization. Before her death, Dejana named a successor to pick up the mantle of leadership, and the one she had chosen, it was not Maiev. Instead, she named Tyrande Whisperwind to take her place. Tyrande had shown an extremely powerful connection to Alun. Where others might be able to bless and heal certain wounds, they were not always successful. Tyrande didn't see herself as anything special, but her gift and her devotion, it allowed her to channel Alun's power and heal where others could not. That is why she was chosen, and Maiev, although she didn't outright say it, she thought that it should have been her. During the war, Tyrande is kidnapped by the Satyr, she's taken to Azara's palace, and Maiev mentions that she fears it was Tyrande's inexperience that actually betrayed her. It would have been better for Tyrande if her predecessor had chosen one more seasoned, someone like Maiev. Malfurion Stormrage, as he heard Maiev speak these words, he had to bite back his anger, and he explained that it was not Tyrande's fault. During this conversation, as it was described in the book, we also see Maiev interact with her little brother, Jarrett Shadowsong. They had not seen each other for a very long time, as Maiev had chosen to move away to the Temple of Hashiri as the place for her studies. This location was far away from their home, so they hadn't spoken to each other in a very long time, and despite Jarrett being taller than his older sister, it still seemed like he was looking up to her. Just as this conversation took place, just moments before, Jarrett had saved the Night Elves army by ordering different races to work together. Yet his sister, she tried to write it off as a city guard playing for commander. Fortune was with her brother that time, and Jarrett simply nodded, despite it being an act of good common sense. Maiev shrugged this comment off. She didn't see it as Jared being a capable leader. She tried to write it off as her brother simply being lucky. And that's the way, at first, that they acted around each other. Maiev was the older sister after all, and Jared saw himself as nothing more but a simple guard. Yet the war would prove that Jared was so much more. The different leaders of the Night Elf army fell in battle, and Jared, unwillingly, unknowingly, he flowed into the role of the military leader of the Kel'Dorei resistance. Similar to Taronda, Jared also didn't think he was anything special, nor that he deserved the respect that the Night Elf forces gave him, but he was smart, he was able to lead the resistance, and was it not for him, they might have lost the war entirely. Maiev, throughout the course of the war, she also tried to gain a better position, since, like I said, she believed to be a better and more experienced leader of the Sisterhood. So when Taronda was kidnapped to Azshara's palace, and Marina, the one Taronda had named to become the leader after her, when Marina was killed, Maiev took up the role as leader. Jared noticed what his sister was doing, that she was there to front the battle, trying to show all of them that she was worthy of being in the position of a leader. He wondered if such ambition was permitted in the Moon Goddess's order, but regardless, he knew that Maiev was Maiev, and she would not let anyone stop her. As Jared grew in his role as leader, so too did Maiev's respect for her little brother. When Taronda was eventually liberated out of Azshara's palace, Maiev reluctantly stepped down as leader, and eventually, despite all odds and after many battles against the demons, the Night Elves were able to stop Sargeras, close the portal created by the Highborn, and send the Legion back to the Twisted Nether.
No! This victory will not be ripped from my grasp. I will not return to him in failure. I will not be torn from this pitiful world. No. No!
The Well of Eternity, that vast pool of power that they had used to create their portal to summon the Legion and try to summon Sargeras, it had become so unstable that it started to sunder the land, split the land of Kalimdor apart, and create the world as we know it today.
Illidan! The well is out of control!
Aye, it's been twisted and turned by too many spells. The fuss we, especially you, made with the portal was too much. The same spell that sent the Burning Legion back into their foul realm now works on the well. It's devouring itself and taking its surroundings with it. Fascinating, isn't it?
Not if we're caught up in it. Why weren't you running? What have you been doing with your hand in the well?
Part of the Night Elf Kingdom was simply destroyed, sent to the bottom of the sea, including Azshara's palace. As the queen realized that their plans had failed, water started to fill up the palace, and in that moment, the old gods, they whispered to the queen, offering her a deal. She and the Highborn with her were transformed into the Naga, and when the time came, she would serve the old gods. The Night Elf Resistance, they also saw their world being destroyed. They were able to retreat to high ground, and you have to understand that in that very moment, they saw the world that they knew destroyed. They had to think about shelter, about food, and thankfully they had ample supply of water in a big lake which they could use to give their people something to drink. But Illidan Stormrage, Melfurion Stormrage's twin brother, he had other plans in mind with the water. Illidan had acted as a double agent during the war, but only a very few praised his actions. Most were uncertain if Illidan was truly fighting for their cause and didn't join the Legion willingly. By this time, he had these tattoos across his body, Sargeras has burned out his eyes, and they, well, at least some of them, kinda wondered if Illidan was truly on their side or if he was actually part of the Legion and only switched sides again because the Legion lost. As Illidan approached the lake, he thought to himself that he would become a hero. He would restore the Night Elf's life essence, as he had taken several vials filled with water from the original Well of Eternity, and he used them to create a new well of power. Illidan hungered for that power, was addicted to magic, and he understood that their enemy, he understood that the Legion had only taken its first bite out of the world, and one day they would be back. By creating this well, he imagined his people embracing him as a hero, but actually, quite the opposite happened. What, by the Mother Moon, are you doing there? Illidan had been so caught up in his efforts that he had failed to notice the approach of others. He spun about, the lost vial still in his hands, to face a party of mounted figures, Jared Shadowsong chief among them. Captain, the sorcerer began. One of the Highborn and some of the Highborn, they had switched sides since they disagreed with the Queen's actions, so some of the Highborn actually joined the Knight of the Resistance. One of the Highborn glanced past Illidan. "He's done something to the lake! It's..." The spellcaster's expression grew odd. "It feels like the well." "Illoon, preserve us!" bellowed a noble next to Jarrett. "He's resurrecting it!" The commander dismounted. "Illidan, Stormrage, seize this immediately! If not for your brother, I'd..." "My brother..." An imperious fury arose, fueled by his nearness to the enchanted lake. Once more, the power surged through him. He was capable of anything. "Always my precious brother." The others dismounted, following Jarrett's shadow song. Their wary expressions made Illidan tense. They wanted to keep him from the lake's power. He eyed the Highborn, who would certainly attempt to usurp it for themselves. "No," one of the nobles hesitated. "By Elune, what sort of eyes does he have that glow beneath that veil?" Illidan glared at the Highborn. Their leader raised a hand in defense. "Look out!" Flames erupted around the other sorcerers. They screamed and Jared and the nobles charged him. Illidan sneered at the paltry threat and gestured. The ground beneath them exploded. Jared was tossed back. The lead noble, Black Forest, he flew high in the air, finally striking a tree with a resounding crack. "You stupid fools, you!" His feet suddenly sank into the earth. As he looked down, tree branches wrapped around his body, pinning his legs together and his arms to his torso. Illidan tried to speak, but his mouth filled with leaves that adhered to his tongue. The sorcerer could not even concentrate, for a buzzing echoed in his ears as if a thousand tiny insects nestled in them. Gasping, Illidan slumped to his knees. Through the buzzing, he vaguely sensed someone else approaching. The sorcerer knew, without a doubt, who it had to be. "Oh, Illidan," Malfurion's voice cut perfectly through the buzzing. "Illidan, why?" Jarrett's shadow song was struck down by Illidan, and Maiev, together with Chandris, she quickly healed his wounds. Jarrett would thankfully live, but Maiev, she was furious. She was terrible to behold. She wanted to slay Illidan right in that moment. But Taranda stopped her, telling Maiev that Jarrett did not die, and that it was Jarrett's decision to make. They now had a new pool of power in the world, and the Night Elves did not want another War of the Ancients to happen, so something had to be done. It was the Dragon Aspects that came up with the plan of planting a world tree over the well to both contain its powers and make it less treacherous in nature as the well that it was. Nordrasil, meaning Crown of the Heavens, it was placed over the new well, and on top of that, for their efforts in saving the world, the Aspects gave it their blessing. Strength, a healthy life, the ability to dream, and those that followed Malfurion's path of druidism, they were welcomed into the Emerald Dream. Finally, and maybe most importantly for the storyline of Maiev, the Bronze Dragon Nosdormu, he granted immortality to the Night Elves for as long as the tree would stand. With that done, all that was left to do was to decide what would happen to Illidan, and Malfurion's brother pleaded with the others to not execute Illidan. Instead, he wanted them to imprison his twin. Jarrett's Shadow Song agreed with Malfurion's request, which did not satisfy Maiev at all. She wanted to see justice done, and the Night Elves now realized what kind of dangerous and powerful elf Illidan really was. They could not leave him unguarded, so Maiev volunteered to be his guard, to be his warden. From the Sisterhood of Elune came more volunteers ready to take up this job, and this created a new organization known as the Watchers.
For the Watchers!
Time went on, and the war was left behind them, and Jarrett felt that Malfurion and the Druids, that they were more concerned with nature than they were with their own people. In the meantime, he had fallen in love with a novice priestess named Chalazir, and together they decided to leave their people behind without saying a word. Maiev was truly hurt that her brother left her like that, her only family, so she focused her attention on the Watchers, as they were her only company. Maiev is their leader. She gained the title of Warden, which was later awarded to a select few who had proven their exceptional fighting abilities, their tracking skills, and their tenacity. At first, the Watchers were mainly charged with watching over Illidan. That was the whole reason why they were created. But over time, as the years went by, they gained more responsibilities. Their duties eventually included the capture, imprisonment, and and, wherever necessary, the recapture of all dangerous criminals. So, over the years, Illidan was no longer the only one that they kept imprisoned. For around 10,000 years, Maievena Watchers, they kept guard. They made sure that Illidan received his punishment, as well as upholding the law. But time, on the outside, did not stand still, and Illidan's warning would come true.
Come forth, Lord Agamond. Enter this world, and let us bask in your power. Has come to this world.
During Warcraft 3, with the Lich King being sent by Kil'jaeden to weaken the world and get it ready for another invasion, Arthas, he was turned to the dark side, and he resurrected Kel'Thuzad as a Lich. Together with their Scourge forces, they summoned Archimonde once more, which meant that the Legion had returned. Archimonde remembered the events of the War of the Ancients, and he set his eyes on taking out the Night Elves, as well as draining the powers of the World Tree Nordrasil.
The undead are tireless. There's no way to outrun them.
You see, Lord Archimonde, we need not fear the Night Elves. The Scourge can...
Archimonde, after 10,000 years, how is it possible?
The Legion has returned to consume this world, woman. And this time... your troublesome race will not stop us. Fools! Let her slip away! Find her, damn you! Find her and kill her!
The day we have long feared has finally come. The Burning Legion has returned. I must cross the river and warn the rest of my sisters before all is lost.
Tyrande the Whisperwind was leading the Night Elves at the time, and she decided that it was time to wake up the Druids and her beloved Malfurion. Together, they went deep beneath the earth to wake up the Druids of the Claw, but as they journeyed through the tunnels, they came across the path leading to Illidan's prison.
This door leads to Illidan's prison, Tyrande. We should go. Now.
Illidan. It's been 10,000 years. Could he still be alive? We should free him, Furion. He would be the perfect ally against the undead and their demon masters.
No, Tyrande. That beast must never be set free.
But he is your brother.
Be that as it may, he is far too dangerous. I forbid it.
Only the goddess may forbid me anything. I will free Illidan whether you like it or not.
Hold, priestess. This place is forbidden, even to one such as you. There is a terrible evil here that must remain chained beneath the earth.
Illidan was considered a great hero once. I believe he will become one again.
Madness! You would doom us all by freeing the betrayer!
Tyrande, despite everyone telling her not to, she decides that freeing Illidan is the best course of action. She believes that they need Illidan's help to fight back against the Legion, and for her, Illidan's love was so strong that he was still willing, even after 10,000 years, to fight with them against the Legion. During these events, Maiev was away on a mission, so she couldn't stop Tyrande from liberating the betrayer, and Illidan, at first, he actually did what Tyrande asked him to do. He absorbed the Skull of Gul'dan, he increased his power, and he made himself look like a demon. With this additional power, he was able to slay the Dreadlord Tychondrius, who was leading the undead forces in the area, and they were busy corrupting their forests. Illidan made a great sacrifice by absorbing the Skull of Gul'dan, and of course, his own lust for power also played a part in it, and when Malfurion and Tyrande found Illidan again, he was looking so much like a demon that they didn't even recognize him. When they did, when they realized what Illidan had done, they could not stand behind his actions. Despite saving their forest, despite sacrificing his own soul, Malfurion banished Illidan from their lands. Later on, the Prophet Medivh would show up with Jaina and Frol. Melfurin and Taranda would ally with these forces, and together they came up with a plan. They would distract Archimonde long enough for Melfurion to gather the spirits of the forest, and as Archimonde climbed the World Tree Nordrasil, the spirits detonating, blowing up Archimonde, as well as the Night Elf's immortality. Melfurion believed it was a small sacrifice to make for the safety of Azeroth, but Illidan, his story wasn't quite done yet, and neither is Maiev. She learned what Taranda had done. She was hell-bent on capturing Illidan once again. But that's a story I'll save for next week.
I watched the Barrow prisons for over 10,000 years. Yet I'm the one who feels caged. I feel hollow inside. Vengeance is all I have left. Taranda will pay for setting Illidan free. I will recapture Illidan, or die trying.
You're so hypnotizing. Could you be the devil? Could you be an angel? Your heart's magnetizing. Falling from the sky, a blue race of Draenei. Army of the light. You're not like the others, but you're still a lion. DNA, they don't understand you. You're from a whole other world, a different dimension. You open my eyes, and I'm ready to go. Lead me into the light.
Hello everyone! Last week we did the first part of Maiev's storyline, in which we talked about the War of the Ancients, Illidan's betrayal and imprisonment, and the formation of the Watchers. Nearly 10,000 years later, after the War of the Ancients, the Burning Legion had returned to Azeroth, and Taranda decided to let Illidan out of his prison so he could help in their fights. Illidan Stormrage did help in his own way, of course, by absorbing the Skull of Gul'dan and taking out the Dreadlord Tychondrius. Melfurion and Taranda disagreed with Illidan's actions, and he was banished from their lands. A few months after the battle for Mount Hyjal, Kil'jaeden, he found Illidan, and he offered him a deal.
Illidan, in the past you have been both friend and foe to the Burning Legion. But by consuming the Skull of Gul'dan, you sealed our defeat in this world. I come to offer you a second chance to serve us.
What would you have me do, Great One?
My creation, the Lich King, has betrayed me. He dared to break the pact that binds him to my will. But his spirit still lies trapped inside the frozen throne of Ice Crown. Destroy it for me, and I will grant you your heart's desire.
So Illidan, at this point, he wants to destroy the Lich King, and to help him with this mission, he summons the Naga from the depths of the ocean, as well as allying himself with the Satyrs. The Naga and the Satyrs, they both used to be highborn in the service of Queen Azara, and they're now working together with Illidan. Naturally, the warder Maiev is not happy that her prisoner is roaming about, so the hunt is on.
These tracks are fresh, but they split off in opposite directions. Illidan must be getting help from someone.
Your orders, mistress.
You watchers split up into two parties. Scour the woods. Find what you can. We'll meet you further up the coast. Remember, sisters, if you find Illidan, do not attempt to take him without the rest of us. He is far too dangerous to tackle alone. Not allow Illidan to escape again. We must slay those Naga before they burn the ships.
You are too late, little warden. The Master has already set sail for distant shores. However, he wished to thank you for the hospitality you provided during his imprisonment. He asked us to repay you in kind.
Maiev and her troops are able to stop the Naga from destroying all the ships, and they follow Illidan all the way to the Broken Isles. These isles used to be part of the Night Elf Kingdom before the Well of Eternity imploded and sent it all to the bottom of the sea. Later, the area would be used by the Guardian Aegwynn to seal away the remains of the Avatar of Sargeras. She locked it away behind magic so strong that none on Azeroth would be able to break it, but Aegwynn didn't count on magic from a different planet. When the first Orcish Horde invaded, the Orc Gul'dan, he stepped away from the Horde. He was in search of more power. He knew that the Tomb of Sargeras was out there, and he raised the Broken Isles and entered the tomb. All he found inside was his own demise, yet the tomb remained with more powerful artifacts inside. That's why Illidan went in there to collect the Eye of Sargeras, and he wanted to use this artifact to power his spell and destroy the Lich King from a distance. As Maiev ventures through the Isles, she encounters an old orc named Drakfuul, who's haunted by the ghost of his past. After taking care of these ghosts, Drakfuul explains what Gul'dan had done and that he was part of Gul'dan's crew. Maiev left the orc behind, stating that she wished that she hadn't cleared the ghost, since Drakfuul, for his actions, he deserved a far worse fate. Inside the tomb, ruins written down in Gul'dan's own blood. They explained what he was trying to do, how his life was ended, but this is not the reason why Maiev is down here. She's on the hunt for Illidan, and she will let nothing stand in her way. Not Lady Vash and her Naga, not the guardians of the tomb, not even the skeletons of the past.
So, Warden Shadowsong, you've made it at last. I knew you would.
You have much to pay for, Illidan. I'm taking you back to your cell.
Naivete does not suit you. When I consumed the power of Gul'dan's skull, I inherited his memories, especially those of this place, and the dark prize he coveted.
Yes, the power of Sargeras. You would claim it as your own.
That power is beyond my reach, little warden. But this, the Eye of Sargeras, contains all the power I'll need to rid this wretched world of my enemies once and for all. Ironic that you should be its first victim.
You're insane.
Isolation can do that to the mind. Now, after all the long centuries you kept me chained in darkness, it is only fitting that I bury you in turn.
Damn! I must reach Shanto Stormrage and warn him of his brother's treachery. My power will allow me to escape. But I fear there is no way out for the rest of you.
Go, mistress. The goddess will light our path to the hereafter.
I will not forget you, my sisters. You will be avenged. I swear it.
Naisha and several others are forced to stay behind as Maiev blinks away out of the tomb. She realizes that Archdruid Malfurion has to be warned, has to be informed about what his twin brother has done. But before they can do anything, the Naga attack. A runner sent out by Maiev as she tries to hold down the line, praying that Malfurion will reach them in time. And as luck would have it, he and Charonda, they save the day.
Illun be praised. I knew you would come, Shando Stormrage.
I'm glad we reached you in time, Maiev.
Priestess Taronda, I'm surprised you came in person. Are you here to absolve your guilty conscience?
I did what I had to do, Maiev. You are in no position to judge me.
What you did was murder my watchers and set the betrayer free. It is you who should be locked in a cage.
Stop this, both of you. We're not out of danger yet. Maiev, what's the situation here?
There are no resources left in this area, Shando. We'll need to find a gold mine if we're to marshal more troops for an assault on Illidan's compound.
Very well. Let's get moving then.
Maiev shows a lot of respect for Malfurion, but not so much for Taronda. This possibly goes back to the War of the Ancients, where Taronda was chosen as a leader over Maiev, but liberating Illidan out of his prison also didn't help. Taronda realizes that she made a mistake by liberating Illidan, and she tries to confront him, but the betrayer, he's able to escape, and he sets sail to the lands of Lordaeron. Right behind him are the Night Elves that are trying to capture him, and as Malfurion goes off to communicate with the land, Taronda and Maiev, they try to pick up Illidan's trail. Along the way, they come across Kilfa Sunstrider, Prince of the Blood Elves, formerly known as High Elves. His people have been nearly exterminated by the Undead Scourge, and he's trying to get his people and the caravan to a safer place.
Then we shall lend you our aid, young Kale.
Wait, we have no time for this.
Perhaps once your people are safe, you will help us hunt the demon we seek.
It would be an honor, m'lady.
Taronda offers to help him out, which Maiev, of course, she protests. She wants to capture Illidan, not help out some stranger in need. Taronda will hear none of it, kills people, the High Elves. They used to be the Highborn, the same Highborn that aided the Night Elves in the War of the Ancients. By helping Kilfas, they can honor that ancient old debt, as well as recruiting his aid once the escort mission is done.
We are wasting time here, Taronda. We should be out looking for Illidan.
These people need our help, Maiev. Their brethren aided us against the Legion. We will honor that debt now.
The escort mission seems to be going very well until the caravan runs straight into an undead ambush. Taronda tells Kilfas to get his people across the bridge as she, together with the powers granted by Illun, she will hold the undead back. Despite there being so many undead, Illun grants her servants the power to hold the line, but the bridge beneath Taronda's feet, it crumbles, and the river takes her away.
Musk the goddess.
We must hurry to save her. That current will take her straight into the heart of the undead lands.
No, Kale. Taronda is a soldier. She knew the risks she took. We have a greater mission to accomplish now, and our time grows short. Your people are now safe. You will uphold your end of the bargain and help me hunt the demon I seek.
Maiev is obsessed with hunting down Illidan, and she will let nothing stand in her way. In the meantime, Malfurion, he's granted a vision showing him what Illidan's magic is doing. His spell is not only going to destroy the Lich King, it will also do some severe damage to the land of Northrend and possibly the rest of the world. He has to be stopped and quickly as well, so Maiev and Kilfas, as they return to base, Maiev gives Malfurion the news.
Maiev, we've got to move quickly. Illidan is weaving a spell that is splitting apart the roof of the world. We must...
Wait... Where is Taronda?
I'm sorry, Shando, but the priestess has fallen. We aided a band of Alliance warriors against the undead. The priestess fought valiantly, but I saw her torn apart with my own eyes.
Torn apart? Taronda, my heart. I should have been there.
You can still avenge her, Shando. Let us attack Illidan together. He is the reason we even came to this forsaken place. He is the reason for your loss. Shando, this is Prince Kael'thas, the ally I spoke of.
Greetings, great druid. My scouts have confirmed that this Illidan and his vile snakes are based at the ruined city of Dalaran. They are using a gem-like artifact to perform some strange ritual.
They must be using the Eye of Sargeras. But why would they strike at the roof of the world?
It doesn't matter. They won't live long enough to finish their spell. Illidan must be stopped once and for all.
Maiev lied about what happened to Taronda. That's how far she was willing to go to capture Illidan. But the truth would soon be revealed as they finally captured the betrayer.
Illidan Stormrage, for recklessly endangering countless lives and threatening the very balance of the world, I hereby sentence you to death.
Too much blood has been spilled on your account, Illidan. Even now, I can feel the lands of Northrend reeling from the spell you cast. Imprisonment will not be enough this time.
I will execute him myself.
Fools! Can you not see? The spell we channeled was meant to strike at the undead, our common enemy. My mission was to destroy the Lich King's stronghold of Ice Crown.
And no heed to the cost! Because of you, Taronda is dead!
What?
Your pardon, Lord Stormrage, but the priestess may still be alive. She was swept downriver, but it's premature to simply assume
Silence,
that...
Kale!
You told me she was torn apart. You lied to me.
The betrayer's capture was our primary concern, Shondo. I needed your help. I knew you would go to her, and we would lose our chance.
Just who is the betrayer now, woman?
Maiev's lies quickly caught up to her, and Malfurion is furious. Illidan tells his brother that he would never lead Taronda to harm, so he offers his aid and that of the Naga. The serpents are able to quickly scout the rivers. They find Taronda just in time, and the Stormrage brothers are able to rescue her. Now Illidan is in a very tight spot, since he was given a clear mission by Kil'jaeden, which he now had failed. He failed to destroy the Lich King, and pissing off someone like Kil'jaeden, that's never a good idea. Illidan decides to leave Azeroth behind, hide out in Outlands, but Maiev is not done with him yet.
Farewell, brother. Taronda. I doubt our paths will cross again. In Shu'Falana.
Fools! Have you no sense of justice?
Maiev, Illidan has atoned for his crimes. He is no longer a threat to...
It's no use, Taronda. She has become vengeance itself, bound forever to the hunt. I only pray that in her zeal, she doesn't cause even more havoc than Illidan.
Now, let's go home, beloved. We've earned our rest.
Malfurion and Taronda believe that Illidan has atoned for his sins, but Maiev disagrees. She doesn't believe that saving Taronda is good enough to dissolve Illidan of his crimes made during the War of the Ancients, of his crimes made when he was released. She steps through the portal, following the betrayer to a whole new world, and the next time that we see her, she has actually managed to capture him. Luckily for Illidan, his allies, Lady Vash and Kilvas, they will not let Maiev get away with her prize. They liberate Illidan, and they capture Maiev in the process.
Lady Vash... Your rescue was most timely. The thought of spending another 10,000 years in Maiev's prison was not a pleasant one.
For the longest time, we wouldn't hear a thing about Maiev, as Illidan and his allies, they took over Outlands, they teamed up with the Broken Akama, and once again, they received a visit from Kil'jaeden. He gives them one more chance to destroy the Lich King, but Illidan failed once again. He was defeated in battle by Arthas, and the former Yuma Prince merged together with the Lich King. Arthas, he was in such a rush to reach the top of Ice Crown that he didn't finish the job. He left Illidan to die in the snow, but instead of dying, Illidan was dragged back to Outlands, where he would wait in the Black Temple with Maiev as his prisoner. Like I said, the world believed Maiev to be dead. We didn't hear a thing about her. That is, until the Burning Crusade.
I prefer to remember the temple as it used to be, not the abomination it has become. My soul bears the burden of my misjudgment. But I have been patient. I have been waiting. And when the time is right, the betrayer will become the betrayed.
The Broken Akama has decided that teaming up with Illidan was not the best plan, and he decides to betray the betrayer with the help of adventurers and Maiev. It's uncertain what events transpired while Maiev was imprisoned. We know that she was tortured, but we don't know to what extent. Yet her burning desire for vengeance is as strong as ever. After collecting the medallion of Karabor, we're ready to team up with the Naru and we assault the Black Temple. We go in together with Akama, the Naru, and Maiev to bring down the so-called Lord of Outland.
I have waited for this moment for years. Illidan and his lapdogs will be destroyed.
Maiev is so eager to attack that she rushes on ahead without us, leaving us to deal with the minions. But when our need was greatest, when Illidan was ready to strike us down, Maiev showed up to finish her hunt.
Is this it, mortals? Is this all the fury you can muster?
Their fury pales before mine, Illidan. We have some unsettled business between us.
Maiev, how is it even possible?
Ah, my long hunt is finally over. Today, justice will be done. It is finished. You are beaten.
You have won, Maiev. But the Huntress is nothing without the hunt. You are nothing without me.
He is right. I feel nothing. I am nothing.
And that's where we believed Maiev's hunt for Illidan came to an end, until the announcement for Legion. The description on the website says, after the fall of the Black Temple, the corpse of the Lord of Outland, Illidan Stormrage, disappeared. No one knows the true fate of Illidan's remains, but legend holds that Warden Maiev's Shadow Song took his broken body to the Vault of the Wardens, so that Illidan's dark, lingering soul could suffer the rest of his eternal sentence. Along with his followers, the feared Illidari, justice to be forever served. Time will tell how that story is going to unfold in Legion. I'll speculate a little bit about it at the end. First, we have to talk about the rest of Maiev's storyline, since this is not the last time that we saw her. This story is described within the novel Wolfheart, which takes place after the events of Warcraft 3, so the Night Elves are now mortal at this time, and after the events of the novel Stormrage. So Malfurion, he's been rescued from the Emerald Nightmare, he married Tyrande, and he became the co-leader of the Night Elves. Maiev has also returned home after taking care of Illidan, and she's still devoted to her service. She's been training herself, she's been trying to eradicate the dark memories left behind by Illidan, while also training new recruits into the ranks of the Watchers.
For the Watchers!
Like I said, the Night Elves are now mortal, so dying of old age, something that they didn't have to deal with for the longest of time, it has now become a thing. After more than 10,000 years, Jared Shadowsong makes his way back to the society with his dying wife Shelazir in his arms. He is desperately searching for Tyrande and Malfurion for a glimmer of hope of healing his wife, but by the time that he reaches them, it's already too late. Shelazir knew that her time had come, and that no healing in the world could prevent her passing. She didn't want Jared to end up alone though, so she asked of him to bring her back, so that Jared, once he had done that, wouldn't have to deal with her passing on his own. Neeva, Maiev's top student amongst the Watchers, she brings word of Jared's return, and Jared and Maiev, after 10,000 years, they finally reunite. As they talk, Maiev explains how she was proud of her little brother during the War of the Ancients. The way that he took up the mantle of leadership was a great display of the name Shadowsong. But when he left them all behind, without saying a word, she felt ashamed. She had given her life to the cause, to duty, and someone like Jared, who just stood up and left, dropping all his responsibilities, that brought her great shame. After that little reunion, Maiev says to Jared that they'll talk later. Now, Malfurion, Jared, and Maiev, they were not the only ones trying to make a return into the Night Elf society. Some of the Highborn, who had survived after the War of the Ancients in an area called Eldrefalas, now known as Dire Maul, they've come on peaceful terms to try and bring the old ways back to the Night Elves. Despite making the use of arcane magic punishable by death, despite imprisoning Illidan for his lust for power, despite banishing the Highborn, the that could not give up their ancient ways. Now, over 10,000 years later, Malfurion and Tyrande are working on bringing back the Highborn. Of course, this did not go without protest. Many of the Night Elves still clearly remember what the War of the Ancients was like, and they do not respond well to their leader's choices. Eventually, a dead Highborn is found near the Watcher's training grounds, and on his chest he had a note saying, "Suffer, not traitors," which of course puts both sides on edge. Maiev begs for them to let her lead this investigation, to which Tyrande agrees. Despite Maiev's history, they still recognize her skills, and when someone like Maiev is set on a task, she will not give up until it's finished.
Justice will be done.
Now, throughout the story, more of the Highborn are found dead, and even Jared Shadowsong is asked to aid his sister in figuring out who is behind this. Eventually, Jared meets up with a worgen named Edric, who's figured out who's behind it, but he couldn't tell anyone because he feared that no one would believe him. By this time, Malfurion has also gone missing, and Jared goes to Edric to find out if he knows where the Archdruid went. As they talk, as they try to figure it out, they're attacked from the forest, and it turns out that Neeva is the one that attacks. The assassins that they were looking for were actually Maiev and some of her most devoted watchers. They disagreed so strongly with bringing back the Highborn that Maiev decided that she should execute them for their crimes. Not only the Highborn, but also Malfurion, since he was as arrogant as Illidan, thinking that he was the one to decide what was right and what was wrong for their people. Was it not for him, they would have taken care of Illidan ages ago. He even refused the offer of Nos Dormu to bless their new world tree Teldrassil, since he thought it was time for the Night Elves to truly live and no longer be immortal. In Maiev's mind, Malfurion was as guilty as Illidan and the Highborn, and she was the one to bring them to justice.
The guilty will suffer.
As Neeva attacks, she kills Edric, but he manages to drag her down with him to a cliff down below. Jared can tell that the worgen has already passed, yet Neeva still lives, so he climbs down and he tells her that he has seen these wounds so many times during the war. She will die a slow and painful death. Now he's willing to end her suffering if she tells him where he can find Maiev. Ever devoted to her teacher, Neeva refuses to give up Maiev and her captured Highborn, but she does tell Jared where he can find Malfurion. After fulfilling his promise, after putting Neeva out of her misery, Jared quickly goes to liberate Malfurion out of Maiev's trap, and together they find his sister slowly executing the Highborn. As Malfurion works on liberating these Highborn, Jared takes care of two watchers, and then he confronts his own sister. He's getting pretty beat up fighting someone as skilled as Maiev and the watchers that follow her, but he is able to wound Maiev and he forces her to flee. This is the final conversation that they have in the book. She paused and looked back. Through the slits of her helmet, her eyes were still defiant, still mocking. He held the glaive ready. "Surrender, Maiev. You have no choice. I do not want to kill you." She laughed. "And you will not. As I indicated, that is the difference between us, Jared. I do what has to be done, no matter what." Jared started to throw. From behind him, he heard movement and voices. By the sound of them, they were obviously not more of Maiev's followers, but rather searchers from their nests. Maiev's eyes flashed in triumph. "You are a fool. I will see our people restored to their greatness. You have only delayed the inevitable." She teleported just as Jared finally threw. The glaive struck where her lower legs would have been. The blade cut harmlessly into the brush, and the weapon then bounced off to the side. "Ilune, forgive me," he muttered. Jared was unable to finish the job, and Maiev makes a clean escape. He feels like he has failed his mission, but he swears that he will find his sister. She must be brought to justice, and it must be done by him. Tyrande and Malfurion agree that it has to be so, but they do warn Jared to be careful, to not become obsessed like his sister was. Now the Highborn, they are saved from Maiev's trap, and despite everything that happens, they join the Night Elves, and magic has returned to their society. This is the reason why you can now make Night Elf mages. Jared is asked to become the leader of the Watchers, since not all of them were aware or behind Maiev's actions. Jared accepts, starting to train a whole new generation of those willing and able to stand up against threats like his sister. We've seen the brother show up during the Cataclysm, we've seen a warden join Khedkar in Draenor, but the sister is still missing. I always had hope of seeing Maiev and Illidan come together, since, as you might have noticed, their stories are very much connected. You can't talk about the one without the other. On top of that, Illidan's love for Tyrande, it has brought him nothing but suffering, so So I would love to see him let go of the priestess, let her be with his twin brother, and give his heart to Maiev. But I fear that it's never gonna happen. Which brings us to the end of Maiev's storyline. If you're looking for some more lore related to this subject, I've placed a few videos on the screen. First we have the story of Illidan. Like I said, if we're talking about Maiev, we're talking about Illidan, so there's his story. The story of Queen Azshara, the War of the Ancients from the Queen's point of view, as well as some minor events in the Cataclysm. She was behind the War of the Ancients, so a very important character. The story of the Naga. Azshara is not the only Naga, of course. Some of them teamed up with Illidan. So another important storyline. Right, everyone. Thank you very much for watching. I really hope that you enjoyed my storyline. Subscribe if you like my videos. And until next time, guys. See ya.
Face, I go crazy. I worship her cause she's a sexy mage. Her smile's a curse, it takes over my brain. Though she's a lion, my love for her stays. I'll hunt her down, hunt her down, down. A queen with no crown, queen with no crown. I'm just a whore.
So smug, I know what you're thinking. I'll bring him down, bring him down, down. An elf with no crown, elf with no crown. I guess I'm just a fool, oh baby, he's so cruel, but I'm still in love with Kael'thas, baby. I guess I'm just a fool, oh baby, he's so cruel, but I'm still in love.
Sharing a quest, I thought to get him undressed, completed on my two best, Death Knight and Luck.
And in the biblical sense, I'm in a true bad romance. Jaina is the one I love, despite the boundaries I've crossed.
I wanna love you, but something's pulling me away from you.
I'm still in love with Arthas, so sadly I've got two friends on you. Friends on you.
Just a heart full of baby. It's so cruel, but I'm still in love with Jaina, baby. I guess I'm just a fool of baby. He's so cruel, but I'm still in love with Kael'thas, baby. Oh, I'm in love with Jaina. Proud of her.
Alright, this was kind of a really lengthy segment.
Although I must say I couldn't really split it up into two, because I said I wanted to focus on the time walking, and since this video from Noble is about the story of Maiev before Legion came out, it fit perfectly. Also, the intermission music was Charm with Draenei, and after the last segment from Noble, we heard Silver Latomi and Kavo with their so-called fusion parody, Jaina Kalthas, since they each did a parody of the same song, one about Jaina and one about Kalthas, and they just fused it together, and I really, really love that. Next, we have Hazel with her guide to how you can acquire the personal WoW mailbox.
Hi, I'm Hazel, and in this video I'm going to be showing you how to get the brand new Mail Elemental Battle Pet, the Postmaster title, and a toy that lets you access your mailbox anywhere. You know, no charges, just a cooldown. All of these goodies come from a brand new secret quest chain added in patch 7.3.5. In order to start, for step 1, you're going to need to find yourself a lost mail. And this is very much the hardest part. Lost mail spawns periodically every 3-ish hours or so in front of the Violet Citadel mailbox in Legion's Dalaran. No other Dalaran, no other mailbox, just that one. And depending on how high the interest level is on your server right now, you may find a crowd of people just sort of sitting around that mailbox setting up camp. So option number 1 is to sit down and camp it and hope for the best. Option 2 is to sit down, camp it, and realm hop to the best of your ability using the group finder. You will not be able to realm hop to a group unless the group's leader or somebody in it, a little unclear, but somebody has to be in Dalaran also, so like a Argus World Quest group won't work, but a Margoss fishing group will work, but it's very likely that there will also be people camping it on whatever your destination realm is, so that's gonna work, you know, to some extent. And then option 3 for getting a lost mail is to get it either from another player or to buy it on the auction house. So after you've done the whole Postmaster quest line, you will get a BOE version of the lost mail that you can then send to a friend or, you know, sell on the auction house. And then when they finish it, they'll get one, and then they can again pass that on. So each time someone loots one in front of the Violet Citadel mailbox, it starts kind of a chain, you know, assuming that everybody does pass it on or sell it, and it sells pretty well, so I would. Basically, this means that if you don't have the stomach to camp it, and I don't blame you, just chill out for a few days or maybe a week or two. The prices started out very high in the auction house, but they have been falling quite rapidly as more of them entered the ecosystem, and that will continue to be the case until either the price falls to a point where you're comfortable with it, or the lost mail will eventually be less heavily camped. One of those two things. Once you've got your letter, you're ready to get started, and you should allow yourself between 30 minutes to an hour. The whole thing took me about 39 minutes start to finish, from opening the letter to getting all of the rewards, and I spent a good amount of that time just kind of frittering about aimlessly, so you can probably do it faster. The letter will send you into the Dalaran sewers to make a delivery to Madame Goya at the Black Market Auction House. I recommend that when you do this quest chain, take your time, take a look at the things that are happening around you, and then read the say text, because it's all pretty funny, it's very cute, and you're probably only going to do this once. Down in the Dalaran underbelly, we run into the same dwarf that we ran into in the Silithus quest line. Back in Silithus, he was stuck in an outhouse, we helped find him some Twilight Silk for, you know, and then he had his whole, like, pants burning incident, and now we find him in the Dalaran sewers trying to get his pants back that he very nearly got repoed. So I love little continuity bits that sort of link together like that was kind of cute. After that, don't be concerned when you don't immediately see a follow-up quest. What you want to do is go and check your mail, you should have a letter, and then you want to head to the Dalaran mail room. So here in Dalaran, right past the pet graveyard, but not all the way through the gap in the wall, on the right-hand side here, you're going to see this really cool mail tube, and you can click on that at this point to enter the Dalaran mail room. This whole little area is super cool and gave me a really major Harry Potter vibe, which I kind of enjoyed. So take in the vibes, pick up the quest, help them with their letters that have gotten out of hand, and then they're going to send you off on some deliveries. This is a series of fairly straightforward fetch and deliver quests. The solid stone is very heavy and it does make you very slow, and mounting up does not seem to make you any faster, so just kind of, you know, settle in, enjoy your new job, you will eventually get it to the portal on the other side of Dalaran. After dealing with the stone, you want to head back to the mailroom and you will get a brand new quest asking you to go to Icecrown to pick up some special loot off the Lich King that an adventurer forgot to pick up and then bring it to him. So this is an instance version of Icecrown. You cannot keep the invincible. I know it hurts. And they want you to go take it to Johnny Awesome in Feralas. As an Alliance player, I ended up taking the portal to Uldum and then flying north, Horde players may find it faster to fly from Mulgore, but you want to go talk to Johnny Awesome. Again, take your time, you know, absorb the whole majesty of this situation. And if you haven't met Johnny Awesome before, you should check out his quest in Hillsbrad on Horde's side. They're pretty funny. He wants you to take Twinkles' favorite toy to Twinkles' grave, which is in Hillsbrad Foothills, and the fastest way to get there is to go back to Legion Dalaran, take the portal to the Dalaran crater, and then you should be almost there. After laying Twinkles' favorite toy, which turns out to be a Mimiron's head on his little sparkly horsey grave, you want to head back on your own to Dalaran and check in with the mailroom. At this point, you get access to the mail sorting minigame, which relies pretty heavily on your knowledge of the various zones of Azeroth. There are a lot of places in Azeroth. It does not make you a bad WoW nerd if you don't automatically know them all, so don't feel bad if you can't do it the first time. Keep trying and you will get it. Finishing that quest does get you an achievement, but that is not the achievement we're looking for. We want to do priority mail, which is going to require us to do the challenge version of the mail sorting minigame. So for the challenge version, you need to sort 30 letters in 1 minute, but they are only partially addressed, which means you either need to have pretty good reflexes and really know your stuff, or you can do what I did and use a weak aura that puts the names of the places over the tubes. And I know, it feels like cheating, but it doesn't do it for you, and it doesn't really make it that much easier to execute, because if you're taking the time to like look and read for the name, you're still not going to make it in time. What the weak aura did do for me, though, was make it easier to learn by letting me look up, basically on my screen, the locations of places where I just had no idea. I didn't create this weak aura, I did find it in a WoWhead comment, and I will link it in the description if anybody wants to check that out. So again, stick with it, do your best, and when you finally get your priority mail achievement, you have done it. You will immediately be able to equip the Postmaster title, which is, curiously enough, character specific. I wonder if they're going to expand that to be account-wide at a future date, but for now, Postmaster title is specific to the character you unlocked it on. You can check your mail and pick up your brand new Mail Elemental Battle Pet, which looks like this, has these stats at level 25, and gets access to these moves, which are all themed and kind of cute. He's basically like a little Kirin Tor familiar, but he does have a little letter in his hand, and it's always fun to kind of conjecture about what could possibly be in that letter, and what's going to happen now that that letter will probably never be delivered. Third, and contending for my very favorite thing about this, you get the Katie's Stamp Whistle toy. Now, this is on a 3-hour cooldown. It summons Katie Stamp Whistle, who is that little dwarf assistant in the mailroom. She wears a super cute hat that I am now wondering if I can actually get as transmog for myself, and she acts as a mailbox on a 3-hour cooldown anywhere. The only other thing in the game that offers you a portable mailbox that is not limited by charges that can be used anywhere is the Argent Squire with the bridle. I would say that Katie Stamp Whistle is both easier to get and cuter to use than the Argent Bridle, so I'm really excited. I didn't have a portable mailbox, and I actually didn't know that I was getting one. And then there she is, and I still want her hat. Finally, just when you thought you had everything, the next day you're gonna get a piece of mail from Johnny Awesome, which is almost like a thank you letter. You know, it's his version of a thank you letter, and it includes one of the heirloom upgrade items, which is a very nice thought. Now, in true Johnny Awesome style, he did not get you the latest model. This will not upgrade an heirloom from 100 to 110, but it will take one from 90 to 100 if you have any that still need upgrading at that point, so, you know, thanks. So that is the Mail Elemental questline. Thank you so much for watching. I wish you the very best of luck in obtaining your own piece of lost mail. If you've made it this far through the video, first of all, congratulations. And second of all, please consider leaving me a like, if not a subscribe. I put out a brand new WoW-related video every weekday. I do live streams on Tuesdays and Fridays. I have a cat with a cat cam, you know, on the live streams. I hope to see you around, and I wish you a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye.
Ludra the Mage here.
And I'm Ben the Mage.
Crockett, Sinchex, and Zarshaw.
No, it's Crochex, Sincrix, and Zarsech.
Krukton, Sinclair, and Zardas?
No, repeat after me. Crochex.
Croquet.
Sincrix.
Sinkkix.
And Crochex.
Crochet. Ha ha.
Okay, well, Ludra tries to read some bug names.
Oh, I got it. It's Cro-Mag, Sinjin, and Zarshit.
Check out episode 122 of Battle Pets. Crochex, Sincrix, and Zarshedge, as we talk about patch 7.3.5, boss battles, and team building.
And Una's puppy.
And Una's puppy.
Okay, this is it. Now or never. You get this, Ben? Ben, you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Ready?
Okay.
Bugman 1, Bugman 2, and Bugman 3.
Yeah, I think that works for me. That's much better.
Works for me too. Yeah. Blizzard, take note.
We're making names now.
Mm-hmm.
Big bad horny
oh, I'm just a bad horny. Ooh. Big bad horny, oh, I'm just a bad horny. Cheese. Big bad horny, oh, I'm just a bad horny. Big bad horny, oh, I'm.
Ow!
Big bad horny, oh, I'm just a bad horny. Big bad horny, oh, I'm just a bad horny. Big bad horny, oh, I'm just a bad horny. Big bad horny, oh, I'm just a bad horny.
Have I met you in the BG? I'm the mage, bring the pain, called a legend in PvP. I'm a goblin, I made it smaller. I got the kills and the thrills, with my size I'll make you wonder.
I'm a sexy horde in the party. Go and grab the flag, bring it to the middle. Just pop the blue, gather up your HKs. Now we'll turn it, show them how this game's done.
Now tell me you are. Tell me who you are.
What?
Get that. Make a kill.
Yeah, I'm a freak. Big bad horny, oh, I'm just a bad horny. Big bad horny, oh, I'm just a bad horny. Big bad horny, oh, I'm just a bad horny. Big bad horny, oh, I'm just a bad horny.
Take that.
You just heard Kavo 350 and Kesha with Bad Horny. I'm not sure if I agree with the fact that apparently the horde is bad, but okay, that's a personal preference thing, I would guess. Anyway, this is pretty much it for this week. I have two more segments for you, both featuring Karazhan. One is a lore segment by Doron's Movies. And the last bit is a song by Charm about Karazhan. All that's left for me to do is thank the contributors of this week's show, episode 35, which are the following: Noble87, Charm, Silver Latomi, Kavo, Kesha, Hazelnutty Games, and Doron's Movies. If you have any questions, suggestions, or other inquiries, you can write us an email. corpserunradiomail@gmail.com. You can tweet us at corpserunradio, and you can find us on Facebook at corpserunradio. Have a good week. Hope to see you next time. And as I stated before, here are the last segments, Doron's Movies and Charm. Bye everyone.
Hello guys, this is Doron's Movies, and today I'll be giving you the lore of Karazhan, also known as the Tower of Medivh. covering the creation, history, and the current events. So, without further ado, let's get into the lore. Some 800 years ago, the Guardian Aegwynn faced off the actual avatar of Sargeras. She did manage to defeat him, but in the end he won as the spirit of Sargeras was trapped inside her body. It was not long after that Aegwynn started becoming more distant, more paranoid, and when it was time to return her powers to the council, she refused. Aegwynn had already disdained the council, but the spirit of Sargeras greatly amplified her emotions and her fears. The council was getting more and more aggravated, trying to track her down and force her to return the powers of the Guardian. However, Aegwynn had gone into hiding, eventually constructing the Tower of Karazhan with magic. The tower, as big as it was and magnificent, was not only her refuge, but was erected on the crossroad of ley lines, meaning that it worked as a conduit and Aegwynn could always siphon more power from it. Unfortunately for her, it wasn't long until the council decided to up their efforts in order to track her down. Karazhan was discovered, but she had already sealed it and disappeared, nowhere to be found. Many years later, Aegwynn finally decided to pass down her powers to the only person she saw fit as the new guardian, her son Medivh. Medivh had received an immense amount of power a mage couldn't even imagine, but as a side effect, the spirit of Sargeras was also transferred, growing more powerful by the day. Eventually, Medivh took up residence inside the mysterious and abandoned tower known as Karazhan, making it his home. Not much is known about all the time he spent there, but we do know that at one point, a group of merchants attempted to scam him with fraudulent goods. With Sargeras inside him, Medivh demonstrated the true power he had, and he transformed them into the so-called Dark Riders, who were forced to forever pay their debt by collecting magical artifacts all over the world and bring them back to Karazhan. After that, and during the first Orcish War, Medivh spent time with his steward Moroz, his cook named Cook, and later on his apprentice Khadgar. Both the cook and Moroz were somewhat aware of the madness going inside the tower, but Khadgar and the rest of the humans would only later find out that the Guardian was possessed by the actual spirit of Sargeras. On top of this, he was behind the opening of the Dark Portal and all the misery and war that came from it. As Medivh had already lost his mind at this point, struggling against the Titans Sargeras, Anduin Lothar and Khadgar stormed the Tower of Karazhan and killed him. It was a great victory, but since that day, a mysterious curse spread over the Deadwind Pass and the forest region nearby, turning it into what we know today as Duskwood. Years later, the inhabitants of the area wanted to lift this curse. They didn't know what was happening and ventured to the tower, but unfortunately, none of them returned. Later on, it was found out that all the dying Karazhan have their spirit trapped inside. Nevertheless, this didn't stop the occasional curious visitors and even the Dark Riders who at some point made it their home, even though Medivh was dead and they didn't really serve him. But for years to come, Karazhan would remain as a source of both mystery and fear. During the period of the Burning Crusade, agents of the Violet Eye have been examining the tower and its secrets as they had done in the past, but suddenly this time it closed, trapping them inside. To make this matter worse, the Burning Legion made its way inside as well, as this conduit of magic was not only a tower, but also a portal to the Twisting Nether. Eventually, the adventurers did manage to unlock it, raid the tower, and supposedly win, but the mystery of Karazhan was barely beginning to unravel. today, with the Burning Legion invasion, Karazhan is once again of great importance. Khadgar, in search of knowledge to fend off the incoming demons, ventured into Karazhan only to be greeted by them already inside. He did manage to defeat the Netrazim and escape, but not long after he had to return once again in order to find a book that might offer information on the Pillars of Creation. With the book, they summon the spirit of Alodi that later on leads them to the Broken Isles. However, not long after, Khadgar is once again back in Karazhan, this time with the help of the Kirintor and the adventurers. He found out the chilling fact that Medivh, as he was possessed by Sargeras, bound the tower to the core worlds of the Burning Legion, making Karazhan an important strategic point for the ongoing invasion. Eventually, he does manage to undo almost all of the bindings, however, Medivh's unexpected help was needed for the final ones. In the end, Medivh leaves, naming Khadgar as the new guardian, even without the power of a guardian. Today, the tower is secured and the Burning Legion crushed, but it seems like there is still more to happen in the mysterious story of Karazhan.
Somebody remind me which way in. I'm guessing you're all inside. Cause I already went and soloed half of it, thinking that this ain't right. But we made it to opera and I'm excited to get my paws on an autograph from my one and only favorite big bad boss. Oh, when it's away.
Now,
come meet me at the side of the way in for you, and we can stay.
Thank you for listening. Now go out, my minions. Let nothing stand in your way. Until next time.